Welcome to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff. This show is heard on WBCQ, The Planet, every Monday and Thursday evening, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can pick it up on podcast platforms like Podomatic, Amazon, Spotify, and about a dozen others. This show is brought to you by Camp Constitution, which, among other things, runs a week-long family camp. And our camp is coming right up in a little bit more than a month. And we are not quite full, but we're getting there. And to learn more about our camp and the other things that we do around year-round activities, you can visit our website, campconstitution.net. And also check out our YouTube channel, our Rumble channel, where we upload videos of our classes at camp and at our various engagements throughout the year, and some other things too. We have some short clips of politicians saying ridiculously stupid things, which is what a lot of these politicians do. So website is www.campconstitution.net. Now, our country was founded as a republic. And a republic is ruled by law, not ruled by the majority or ruled by emotion. And it was our founders made it difficult to pass laws, especially amendments, based on emotion, based on insufficient facts, based on ignorance. Now, but I would say the last 100 years, most of our laws and our amendments that have been passed were based on emotion, not based on really clear thinking. And what's interesting here now, the Senate has passed a version of the AR weapons, not a ban, but they want to raise the limit from 18 year olds able to purchase them to 21, and probably some other things that are highly, very much against the Constitution. Now, it's fascinating, these same leftists and people who are driven by emotion are the same ones that say we should lower the voting age. We want to lower the voting age to 16, 14. How about 10? Hey, if you're 4 years old and you can, if you're a boy, and it's okay for you to change over to a girl, why not vote at age 4? Hey, you know, from the mouth of babes. So why is it that the left, because the last two shooters, the last two, the man in Buffalo who was 18, and the man in this most recent shooting in Texas, both were 18 years of age, and therefore 18-year-olds should not enjoy the full privileges of citizens. They can be they can fight and go in the military. In fact, you can go in the military at age 17 with your parents' permission. And at age 17 in the military, you will. I don't care what. You might be a cook, you might be a dishwasher, who knows, but you still have to be proficient in the M16 and in some cases many other weapons. If you're going to a combat arms unit, when I was 18 years of age back in the 70s, I think it was 77, I fired an M16 rifle. I had one issued to me. I fired an M60 machine gun, and I became a crew member when I got to my regular unit in Germany. And, of course, a lot of 18-year-olders, and we're firing LAWS rockets. In basic training, we fired a LAWS rocket. That was a device that could take out a tank if you aim it right. And also artillery and many other items, weaponry. And as far as I know, there haven't been a whole lot of mass shooting hosts, although it was one a few years ago by a Muslim, but it wasn't because he was drawing his weapon, and he wasn't 18 years of age. So because two 18-year-olders committed these horrible crimes, therefore every single 18-year-older is now punished for it. That's really doesn't make any sense, and hopefully they will strike this down. Now, this is what happens when you have horrible shooting, these shootings. You get emotional. The left-wing media, which, let's face it, they control a good chunk of the narrative and what people think. We have to ban these horrible weapons of war. That's the term they use now, weapons of war. Well, first off, technically every weapon is a potential assault weapon. Almost anything that can do harm to somebody can be used to assault somebody. I mean, a rock is an assault weapon, a 2x4, a baseball bat, a knife. These are all assault weapons if I'm using them to assault people. A gun, I'm not an expert in weapons, but you don't have to be. I have some guns. My son is more of an expert than I ever will be. But there are certain basic things. And when you pull the trigger, a bullet comes out. If you have, for example, I own a few of them, Ruger 22 caliber. And 22 caliber is the most popular weapon in the United States, maybe even the world. And probably because they're good things to learn on. You know, it can be used for hunting, small game, and good for target practice. And the rounds aren't terribly expensive, and they're easy to handle. So my Ruger 22, by the way, which has been used in some of these mass shootings, my Ruger 22 that I bought in Massachusetts gave you a little 10 round magazine that you would stick in there, and every time you pulled the trigger, a bullet came out, bang 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 bang, you know. And somebody who's well trained shooter, they don't just shoot 10 blur off 10 rounds all at once. Usually it's in shot groups. With an automatic weapon, you're taught to burst, short burst, about two or three rounds. If you just pull the finger on the trigger and all the rounds go out pretty quickly, there's a tendency to jam, and also your accuracy is harmed a little bit too. If you're aiming at something and you just start spraying, Hollywood does a terrible depiction of the real life. You don't see guys like Rambo with a machine gun just blaring rounds, blasting 500 rounds. The barrels do melt they get pretty hot, and especially in a machine gun. In fact, an M60 crew has three members, one shooting, one feeding in a belt, and the third one with his asbestos mittens changing the barrels every so often. So you don't really, that's not realistic. A revolver, you fire a revolver and it's semi-automatic until it runs out, because you get a reload, and most revolvers, six rounds or so. Most handguns, if they're that aren't revolvers, have are magazine fed, 6-8 rounds. Some have more, and they're semi-automatic. They're an assault weapon. An AR is not a weapon of warfare. A civilian model, semi-automatic. You put in your 10-round magazine or 20-round. In some states, they're illegal to have more than 10-round. You know, if you're a proficient shooter, it really doesn't matter. You can change those. We were in the Army. I think our magazines were 10 rounds because they fit in the pouch pretty handily. And you can blast off your 10 rounds and then reload pretty quickly in a matter of seconds. You know, it doesn't take much. I do have magazines that have a higher amount. I think we have some 30-round magazines. And you can get 30-round magazines for your 22s and practically all weapons. We also own a couple of bolt action weapons. This is where you fire a round and then you have to pull a bolt back to discharge the shell. And you can still get a lot of rounds off. I mean, someone who knows how to handle one pretty good can get a lot of rounds off pretty quickly. So the whole idea that something like an AR is such an evil thing and must be banned is just, it's ludicrous. Now, if you look at stats, and it's important to look at stats, not emotion. As a father, it would make me sick. When I hear about these innocent little children being gunned down in cold blood, it's disgusting. It's sickening. But there are innocent children being gunned down all over the country every day in most cases in the inner cities like Chicago, Newark, Detroit. But you're not allowed to say this because you're called a racist. Well, we got to get over this. We have to have a serious argument. We can't solve a problem if we don't deal with the issues, if we don't deal with causes the problem. If we're afraid to say something, well, people will call us racist. But let me let me just address that. But first, let me address this. Weapons have been used to save lives. Anywhere, it's hard to determine exactly, but up to 2 million times a year. Now, there are a lot of examples where, you know, you pull a gun on someone and the guy backs off. You don't call 911. So a lot of these things go unreported. I was able to use a handgun way back in 1980. I just brandished it. I was a passenger in a friend's vehicle. We were driving through the Roxbury section of Dorchester, going to work, and we were at a red light, and a group of young men came by who threatened us. No doubt they wanted to kill us, drag us out, beat us, take our car. And I just knew the handgun was under the seat. My friend, who's now since passed away, I believe it was not legally owned. I'm not certain about that, but I think it was not registered or legally owned. And I pull it out from under the seat, and I just showed it. I didn't point it. And they backed down pretty quickly. Now, we might have been beaten. We might have been murdered. We don't know. We can't tell. But that stat wouldn't have made national news at all. And by the way, they use vehicles. Automobiles are used for weapons. And when that black nationalist ran down a bunch of people at a parade, all white people, his goal was to kill as many people as possible. For some reason, Biden didn't fly out there into Wisconsin and offer his condolences and denounce black supremacy. No, he just denounces white supremacy, which should be not denounced, by the way. But he panders into, in my opinion, Biden is looking for a civil war. He and his handlers, they want unrest. That's why they promote this stuff. So getting back to the gun issue here. So if weapons are used to save lives up to 2 million times a year, let's just say that's a high end. Let's just say it's 750,000 times. That's a pretty good statistic. But you see, they don't factor that in. And when you look at deaths by handguns or by guns, they factor in suicides. And there's also what the late Jeff Cooper called the good riddance factor. The good riddance factor was when rival gangs shoot each other. Now, that's a harsh thing to say, but people make choices in life. If they make bad choices and they get involved in gangs and they do nothing but rob and steal and murder and rape and loot, then, they've kind of forfeited some things. And if they kill each other, that's just a few less criminals that do harm to people in this world. So if you take all these factors out, the murder rate is much lower. But the murder rate has gone up in major cities, and that's due in part to the defunding of the police, which, of course, the left will deny. But when you take good chunks of the budget out, you expect violence. And Minneapolis, and I used to work in Minneapolis, not work. I used to go out there, fly out there and work in the area. When I was a field rep for the John Birch Society, it was a beautiful city. St. Paul I'd like better, right next door. But it was a beautiful city, and the property value was really high. It was equivalent to that of Boston. And I'm thinking, well, what happened to that city? But see, the left-wing politics, it's poisonous. Wherever you see the far left take over a city, it becomes a very bad place to live. And that's what's happened. It may have always been liberal, but the liberals of a generation ago weren't as crazy. They didn't hate America. You know, they looked out. They didn't want to see illegal aliens flood our country. They didn't want to, they may have had some bad ideas and voted the wrong way in many cases, but they didn't hate you if you didn't agree with them. And that's what you have today in these major cities. And of course, there's a few signs of hope on San Francisco. To call him a communist would probably be an understatement, but the prosecutor in San Francisco, Bodine, whose parents were communist terrorists, the fruit doesn't fall far from the apple. apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That's right. That's the correct metaphor. By the way, as an aside, I have to marvel how well the left does when it comes to raising their children. They don't really have many children, one or two. They abort most of them. But they do a good job of training them up, because very few children of the far left ever deviate. And there's some examples. There was a couple of authors. I can't think of their names right now. They wrote books, Red Diaper. One of them was a Red Diaper Baby. His name will come to me. And he came out of that. And he's right now, he's a neocon. So I guess this is about as best as you can get. And I've known some people who have been grown up in left-wing families and have come out of that. I had a friend from Connecticut whose dad was a communist. He was a secret communist working in the Republican Party. And he was initially very far left and pro-communist, but he woke up and come out of that. But all of the top family, look at the Kennedy family, for Christ, look at the Comos. You'd think there'd be just one that wouldn't embrace far leftism. Look at Clinton. Oh, Clinton only have one child, but she's a far lefty. It's just amazing how well they do. Where we, and the reason why we lose our children is because we let the enemy educate them. You know, Malcolm X, although I'm no fan of Malcolm X, he said, why do black people let the enemy educate us, our children? And we have to look at it. These people aren't just those with different views, and a well-rounded education requires all views to be. No, that's views are one thing, facts are another, and a worldview is another. And King Solomon said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if you don't have that in your educational background, you have no business being putting your children there. And this is why we're losing, because we allow our children to be taught by people who hate us, who hate what we stand for. Again, going back when I was in high school and junior high school, it wasn't nearly. I mean, yeah, they taught evolution as fact, but they didn't hate America like they hate it today. They don't. They didn't care. And they didn't want to turn your boy into a girl. That, to me, is the ultimate evil. And it's being done all over the country. Well, what is this? Who gave these teachers the permission to turn our children into, you know, to medically castrate them and turn them into vegetables? What they're doing to them is brainwashing and child abuse. And if you speak out against it, Biden's Justice Department is going to monitor you because you're a domestic terrorist. Are you kidding me? This is how things have come, folks. And we got to really wake up, and we got to take these folks on. Now, I don't mean violence. You know, when you use the word, oh, I'm fighting like hell. Trump said, fight like hell. Oh, look at that. He's commit violence. Every single politician uses the term fighting or fight like hell, or, you know, things of this nature. They don't necessarily, you know, they're not advocating violence. They just mean, you know, do what you can and be successful. When you're running a campaign, you're aggressive. You're out there. You're getting the word out. You're doing whatever you can to get elected. You know, you get your signs out. You're rebutting your opponent. You know, you're out there. That's what they mean. They don't mean going in there with a baseball bat or a gun and shooting and hurting people. That's not what they mean. And the left knows that. I mean, look at Chuck Schumer a couple of years ago. He actually posted it, his video, where he's, to me, was physically saying if they don't vote the way we want them to vote, they won't know what hit them. You know, like we're going to get them. Well, if you're a Supreme Court justice, what do they mean by that? You're not elected. You're appointed for life or for the good behavior. So what did he mean? What's he going to do? Well, we know what they do. They brought a crazy lefty one to assassinate Kavanaugh. And it was interesting. That same night, the lefties are out there protesting. They're not saying, oh, just because we should back down. You know, there was a gun rally in Massachusetts this past weekend. I wasn't able to make it, but we had a presence there, Camp Constitution. But, oh, we shouldn't be there because the gun violence, and we should kind of cool it. The left never does that. They always push. When Bernie Sanders bro shot up and tried to kill some Republican members of Congress, do you think that the Bernie Sanders people said, oh, maybe we should reconsider our support of Bernie? Oh, you know, Bernie's rhetoric drives people to this. They never say that. But when the conservatives, the so-called right, does it, the rhetoric of the right causes violence. It's just, it's amazing, the hypocrisy. But I do want to, I'm glad to see that the mainstream media is losing its impact. It still has a lot, especially when you look at the COVID stuff and how scared people got. But they decided to run one of the January 6th committee show trial. And I think all the major networks showed it, and they only got something like 10 million views, which normally get 30 million that same time frame. So, and the 10 million people are the same ones that no matter what Biden does, I mean, if Biden nukes Oklahoma, they would still support him. I mean, no matter what Biden would do, that they would support him because they're just diehard leftists and they hate America, and anything that works against America, they're great with. And I also think it's important to point out when it comes to Biden and his handlers. And I say that with his handlers because we know that Biden isn't really operating on all cylinders. Let's say that. But as I said, I made the analogy to Jerry Quarry. Jerry Quarry was a very good heavyweight fighter. He had many, many fights, and he ended up getting dementia. I can't pronounce, but fighter's dementia. But he was being, you know, sometimes he couldn't even put his shoes on. He didn't know his name. But if you ring a bell, he'd start, you know, he'd get into his boxing mode. And it was like instinctively. So Biden has been working to undermine our country all his political life. And of course, also enrich he and his family. So Biden, even without being completely cognizant, can work to destroy America. He just instinctively. So he doesn't need to have 100% cognitive abilities to work against our country. And his handlers, of course, the same way. And it's like everything. I would like to say, is there one thing Biden has done since he's been president that I could say, okay, so I'd give him some credit. There's one thing. He fell asleep at a climate change event in, I think it was in France. He fell sound asleep. Now, here is this, we've got 8 years before the whole world burns up. We need to, we have, this is immediate. This is a clear and present danger, the most pressing matter in mankind's history. And here he is asleep because he knows it's baloney. He knows it's just political nonsense. It's nonsense, but it's dangerous nonsense because of the economic consequences of the actions of these far leftists that basically destroying this country and other parts of the world, covering the whole country with wind turbines and solar panels, while price of gas is going up to, it's $5 the average now. It's probably going to be $10 the next 2 months. One of the things I did notice, though, I was around in the 70s when they had gas shortages and high prices, and I remember that people were siphoning gas because you just couldn't get it. And some places, some stations were out, and others would ration it. So you'd come in, if you had your license plate was ended in an odd number, you would be able to pump gas on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays or something. Well, right now, there seems to be enough gas. I mean, I'm out here in Michigan. My wife and I drove out. And the best deal we got was at the Indian Reservation in Seneca Nation in New York. We were paying $4.60 a gallon. And actually, New York State, I think they did away with they suspended the state tax because it's actually cheaper than it is in New Hampshire. And New York was always some of the highest gas prices around. So anyway, folks, I think it's important not to get it caught up in emotional argument of gun control. It's a tragedy when innocent people are shot. The left will use this. The left really doesn't care about little children or people shopping in a supermarket. They really don't care about them, except if they can make political hay out of it, if they can promote their agenda through that, because they don't say a word about all of the violence in Chicago due to the policies of the left. So while I can't blame the left for the two gunmen, the mass murderers here, I can say that the culture is creating people of this nature, and the culture has been determined for the most part by the left in the last 20, 30 years. The government schools teach you that there's no moral absolutes, that there's no God, that we live in a purposeless and indifferent universe, that we evolved from monkeys, that the United States is an evil, racist country, that white people suck. That's a little vulgar term, but basically, and all blacks have been oppressed by the evil white man. So if you're a black person being exposed to this, you're going to be an anti-white racist, and you may become a black nationalist, and you may run white people down because they're your enemy and you got to take them out. If you're a white person, you're either going to accept this idea and have a very low esteem, you're going to hate yourself, you're going to be a self-loathing white, basically a moral coward, or it's going to turn you into a racist. That's really, to me, and so we're going to see, I hate to make this prediction, but I think there's going to be a whole lot more of these school shootings and these mass shootings. Unless, and again, it's a, as my dear friend Reverend Kraft would say, it's a spiritual battle, and we have to come out against this. But what we really need is a revival. We need a third great awakening, and it's possible. That's what we pray for, that we have a revival and that people come to have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because all of the laws, and even if this next election, if every single person, every Republican wins every office they're running for, not going to solve the problem. If we have a Republican president and we have everyone in the Supreme Court, a Republican, and every single congressman and senator and every governor Republican, not going to solve the problem. It may help a bit. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be terribly disappointed, although some Republicans are just as bad, if not worse, than some Democrats. But it's not going to be solved politically. It's a spiritual battle. And what we see is the physical manifestation of the spiritual when we see the crime and the hatred. And we also, as Christians, we have a higher standard. We cannot do, this is why I don't like to see the F Joe Biden signs. You know, I can laugh at the Let's Go Brandon, that's okay. But, you know, we shouldn't use the same language. If the left has loves the vulgar language, we should have higher standards than that. And while I do appreciate the sentiments of people who display the F Joe Biden, I think that we as Christians should say, look, you know, that's not right. And as much as I detest the man and what he stands for and what he's doing, we don't need to be vulgar. We don't need to resort to this. We don't need, this is why when those people were mowed down in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin at the parade, all white people, you didn't see white people rioting and burning down, looting. And that's something we can't do. We can't engage in that. So, and by the way, let me clarify that. Like most white, the overwhelming majority of white people, as well as black people, are decent law-abiding citizens. And in fact, what's happening in the inner cities isn't done by the majority. It's done by a small minority whipped up by the left, funded by the left. So the left is the biggest enemy of America, whether it's black, white, Hispanic, or Asian. Okay. We have a few minutes left. I want to mention, I get the Imprimis newsletter from Hillsdale College. I've been getting it for years and years. And they had a really good one, the March 2022. So sometimes I get them and I put them aside. And I said, sometimes it takes me a few months to get to them, but I somehow missed this. I should have got this sooner. But this was a really good article. The Continuing Importance of Thomas Sowell. By Jason Riley, who was a senior fellow at Manhattan Institute. And I've been an admirer of Thomas Sowell for many, many years. I sort of cut my teeth on him and Don Fetter. He used to run their op-eds in the Boston Herald for years. And so I didn't realize he's 91 years of age. And what makes him such a great, he's a black, but he's a black intellectual who is not recognized. His fellow black intellectuals do not like him. But he said, I don't care, he said, because most blacks, the overwhelming majority of black people don't agree with so-called black intellectuals, just like what most white people don't agree with white intellectuals. So I do recommend, if you can probably go to their website and get it or find the article somewhere. It was a speech that Jason Riley gave at a Hillsdale College event on February of this year. So I do encourage it. So anyway, we're running out of time. I want to thank you for listening to Camp Constitution Radio. And until next week, may God richly bless you.